We're literally living in a time when information is exploding, immediately accessible on your phones, your tablets, your computers, your television. You know, isn't it the truth? Those little iPhones that a lot of us carry around, those are computers. I mean, those are amazing what you can access on those little phones. With all this knowledge and information, are we any wiser? I think we're getting less wise all the time. Well, last week we learned how to be wise with our words, right? Because we learned that the tongue has the power to direct, destroy, and delight. Let's get our Bibles open and the outline up. And today we're talking about what is wisdom, what is false wisdom, and what is true wisdom. It's all about wisdom today, and hopefully some interesting twists and turns. Can you get the outline up, Donna? Let's see. There we go. Yeah. What is wisdom? False wisdom and true wisdom. Just a couple of verses. My goodness, how come my lecture is 9 pages? Too many words. And I'm going to go through it and hit the high points for you. Well, just like last week, remember, James was talking to a specific group of people. He was talking to a group who wanted to be teachers in the church. If you want to teach, ladies, you got to have something to say. Wisdom is a critical concept in the Old and New Testament. It's mentioned 300 times. How important is wisdom? Wisdom is concerned with how we live our life. Only when our life is oriented towards God and His revealed viewpoint in the Bible, and then applied to our daily experience, do we become wise. Okay, here's some contrast for you. Knowledge is in your head. Wisdom's in your heart. Knowledge helps us to take things apart. Wisdom helps us to put things together. Knowledge is a head trip. Knowing the details and facts about the Bible. Any of you guys play that Bible trivia game on Sunday nights? I love that. I love it. That is so much fun. But that can't be where it stays, right? It's got to get to our heart. Wisdom relates that truth to our daily lives in application. Knowledge comes from books. Wisdom comes from the book. The true test of wisdom is works, not words. James gives us his test right at this first scripture here. Who is wise and understanding among you? He tells us the answer, too. It should be apparent by what we do. What we do should be done in humility and not for men's praise. This woman is looking to glorify God with what she does. Now, we need to be careful here. You know about false humility? Like when someone compliments you and really that really feels good. And you go, oh, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, that's cool. Or we say, nah, you know, it's just, it's not me. I'm really terrible at this. I'm unimportant. I'm not good at anything. I'm not smart. Can't do this. And the focus there is I. Humility is not putting yourself down, ladies. Humility is lifting God up. There's no I in humility, right? When women who do this want you to tell them that they're wrong or you feel sorry for them, but that's really pride with a capital P, and it's not humility. Stop putting yourself down. It directs people's attention to you. Let's direct their attention this way. Spiritually, our first point to ponder, spiritually mature women becomes wise by applying what she learns. We become wise when we apply what we learn. I have lots of you coming to me, or I see in the halls, and this is what you say. I am living these lessons, and they are hard lessons. And James is getting in my business. And some of this hurts. Youch, it's touchy. You know what? If you're not feeling that way, something's wrong. Hello? If you're not feeling a knife in your soul, in your heart, when you read this stuff, I'm telling you, something's off. It's all about your head and not about your heart. Our lessons are designed so we learn about the Bible, who did what and what happened, and so we can answer those great trivia questions, right? We can do all that. That's great. But if we don't take that next step and apply what we learn here today, if we don't do it today and this week, we're not becoming wise. We are not becoming godly women, and we need to be careful. That kind of knowledge that we get can actually puff us up and make us more proud. The wise woman reads, studies, and says to herself, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Show me how I need to live according to your word. And every week, you need to be applying one thing. Write down at the, why is that question on our lessons every week? What am I going to do to apply this lesson? It is there for you. That's the most important question there on your lesson every week. Do that one thing. That is, for this year, it's like, how many lessons do we have? Like 26, 28 lessons this year? If you would do one thing, those 28 weeks, do you know how different your life would be? Just one thing. And I boil all this down into an aim every week. And I give it to the leaders and we pray over it during our prayer time. And this week, the aim is that what we're doing this morning would cause the women to run after God and His wisdom. That we would seek God and His wisdom. That's it. That's the aim. Seek God for wisdom. How might you be guilty of wanting to know what the Bible says without it becoming personal and relevant to you? Just right into the brain and right on through. When you're studying, do you think, and I do this, man, I got to show this to one of my kids or my husband. They need to read this. They need to do this. Stop doing that. It's for me. It's for you. It's not for them. Do you guys do that? You think, oh man, if only such and such could read that, it would change their life. And then they're thinking the same thing about you. If only she'd read that, that would really fix her. False wisdom. Let's talk about that for a minute. Verses 14 through 16. True wisdom comes from above, from God. False wisdom is earthly. We've got three words here. Earthly, unspiritual, which means sensual. It's a better definition of that word, and of the devil. We as believers have three enemies, and James just tells us again what these three enemies are. What are they, ladies? Our selfish nature, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. There we go. Earthly, unspiritual, that's our selfish nature, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. These two kinds of wisdom, from above, from below, they operate totally differently. Totally. In fact, I think almost opposite at times. Because they're from two different places. Don't confuse the world's knowledge with the world's wisdom. Okay? There's nothing wrong with knowledge. It has really helped us grow as a society. Science and technology have made terrific improvements in our life, but we need to use them wisely. Okay, evidence of false wisdom. James clearly tells us, if you're wondering, is this wisdom from below or above? He tells us exactly the wisdom from below. This is what it looks like: bitter envy, selfish ambition, boasting, and denying the truth or lying. Bitter envy. This is wanting what someone else has and resenting that they have it. So in this case, remember he's talking to the teachers who want to, people who want to be teaching in the church. So don't be chasing after leadership positions. Don't be chasing after board positions. Don't be chasing after staff positions. We should not be promoting ourselves in any way. If you are saying this, here you go. I could do a better job than blank. Watch out. Or maybe if I got to know such and such, maybe I could get that position. Or the squeaky wheel gets greased. Remember how the disciples argued over who is greatest in the kingdom? That's what this is talking about. Okay. Selfish ambition, then, concerned excessively with self. Check your thoughts here. What are you usually thinking about? I wonder what they're thinking about me. How you're feeling, how you look. Self-absorption. We are the I generation. Apple has it down exactly. iPads, iPods, iPhones. It's all about us. But let's take that into the church. The biggest controversy in the church over the last few years, what? Music. What's that all about? Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. Oh, I could sing that. Me, me, me. It's all about me. And I want gospel, or I want the old hymns, or I like contemporary. I hate those drums. Get over it. It is me, 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 me. That James is telling us, it is not us. It is about, does it glorify God? Is that what's happening there? Is it filled with the Holy Spirit? Then let it be. Listen. Observe the Spirit. Contribute. If I see you sitting there with your arms crossed, I'm going to come and make you stand up and raise your arms. So do not do that. That ticks me off. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I am not. Okay. Let's see here. This is so funny. Okay, Sherry stepped out for a little bit, but she's the only one I'm not going to let answer this question. In our age of texting, acronyms like, what does LOL mean? Texting, ladies. Laugh out loud. What does IDK mean? I don't know. Hey, you guys are with it. Woohoo. Here's the latest one. I cannot believe this. WIIFM. What's in it for me? Can you believe that? What's in it for me? Wisdom from below is corrosive because I make everything all about me. When we're envious, we want something someone else has, and this becomes so strong that we end up harboring bitterness. Third, boasting. It's calling attention to something that is a source of pride in ourselves. It puffs us up. Even, ladies, let's caution here, giving praise reports. So we give this praise report, and everybody goes, oh, that's so wonderful. Well, I've been praying about it every day. Or I was obedient to do what God told me to do. Or what I said to her or him, all the difference. et cetera, et cetera. It's causing that attention to come back to us, okay, instead of to God. When the wisdom of God is at work, there's a sense of humility and submission. You really desire God to get the glory and not you. And stop comparing yourself with others. Someone wins, someone loses. Who do we compare ourselves to? There's only one, Jesus himself. Yes. Last, denying the truth or lying. Boasting usually involves lying or stretching the truth, which is lying. All of these are from our sinful self, and they all produce trouble with a capital T. Trouble for the church, trouble for us. And these are applauded by the world. How many of you watched the Academy Awards the other night? All of this self-absorption is applauded by... You don't have to be ashamed if you watched. I watched. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Academy Awards. And I like to see the clothes. That's my sole thing about it. And the rest was unbelievable, right from the world. Our second point to ponder, spiritually mature women will be able to spot false wisdom and run, ladies. Spiritually mature women will be able to spot false wisdom and run away from it. Okay, who remembers the Tower of Babel from Genesis? Remember that whole story? The people of the world leaning on worldly wisdom. They decide they come together and build a tower so they could get to heaven. Great idea. They were filled with pride, and God disapproved of it. He called it an evil practice, and he scattered them and confounded what? Language. So we have all these languages. As a result of sin. It doesn't work when we try to do things our way to get to God. God sent his son here. That's the way. He was the savior of the world. Do you rejoice when others succeed? Truly in your heart, rejoice when others succeed. Do you worry about what others think of you more than you should? Do you compare yourselves to others? Or do you compare yourself to Jesus? Do you brag about your kids, your abilities, your stuff, your spirituality? That's all false wisdom. Last, true wisdom. And we've got this incredible list, right? I know y'all shared the evidence of true wisdom, this long list. Pure. Really, that's about being sold out 100% to Jesus Christ. That's pure. Peace-loving speaks of our ability to get along with other people. But this is never at the cost of allowing sin. Some of you are peacemakers at all cost. Mm-mm. You got to identify the sin and call it out for what it is. Consider it. That's just gentle, putting someone else's needs in front of your own. Submissive. You're agreeable, yielding to others, especially those in authority, or the opposite. Do you want your own way all the time? Full of mercy, that's the good Samaritan, and good fruit. If you are faithful, you're fruitful. And we look at the fruits of the Spirit. Impartial, and that goes back to our discussion on favoritism from a couple weeks ago. Sincere is open and honest. It's the opposite of a hypocrite. A hypocrite is the word for acting, putting on a mask, right? Sincerity is the mask is taken off and you're real. Worldly wisdom produces worldly results. Godly wisdom gives spiritual results. James talks about seeds and fruit. Fruit has seeds for more fruit. What we sow determines what we reap. We need to really watch what we sow, especially in church, because we can sow discord. Our last point to ponder, a spiritually mature woman will run after true wisdom while she sows peace. Run after true wisdom, sowing peace. Peace is a huge piece of this. In verse 18, it says, peacemakers who sow peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So here's your challenge for the week. Let's plant peace this week. Let's start in our family. But you know what? First, we need peace within our own hearts. When God grows purity and peace in us, then we can give it to others. Jesus pronounces a blessing on the peacemakers. Remember, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we must strive to be that too. If we don't, there's going to be bitter plants and ugly roots. Is there peace in your spirit today? Do you just feel peaceful? Is there peace in your family? Is there peace with people you work with? In your church relationships? If not, you may have been going after false wisdom instead of true wisdom. Some keys here to true wisdom. The very first step is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I think probably all of you have at this point. Second, Word of God is wisdom. And then we can ask for wisdom in any situation. We can ask God, right? And he says he'll give it to us. That's what James tells us. The wise person is one who is sensitive to God and who willingly subjects herself to him. The wise woman is one who goes on to apply these divine guidelines in everyday situations and is guided by God's will, making daily choices. Wisdom is really the wedding of God's words and experience. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for these words in James. How can we live even a day without your words? It is truly food to our soul, and it nourishes us and cleanses us, encourages, challenges, exhorts, admonishes, directs, convicts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing through this book of James. And it all boils down to this, taking all these words and applying them and doing them in the toughest place. And sometimes that's our home or with ourselves and in our home, with those that are closest to us. And I just pray this week we would begin to apply this wisdom in our home and that we would begin to see a difference in our lives, because we want to be righteous women and we want your blessing. We want your blessing. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for how you are teaching us on the deepest level of our spirit. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise. For you are holy and you are good and you want the best for your women here. Jesus, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.